And a very good morning to Andrew Holden, media commentator.
Good morning.
Last week we were talking about the peculiarities and interpretations of circulation figures, readership figures, those kinds of things for print. Well, if they could be murky and need some manoeuvring, how about the online figures?
That's
what
right.
What even are they, please?
Well, indeed. So we speculated that the online figures might come out, and needless to say, the New Zealand Herald understandably took an opportunity to trumpet that in August, according to the Nielsen figures, they topped Stuff for the first time in a long, long time to be the number one news site in the country, 1.838 million against Stuff 1.821. All of 17,000, not a massive thing. When you look at the Nielsen data across the year, though, what you find is that Stuff's been in front all year, except for this latest point. But, you know, fair enough on the Herald to grab that opportunity and trumpet it. Looking at it, there's been a lot of substantial increase across the year, as you would expect with COVID. It looks like Stuff at some point in around March and April probably went over the 2 million people reading their website, but they've dropped back a little bit there. Across some of the other big sites, so the New Zealand Herald across the years picked up about 200,000 people. News Hub only 30,000, TVNZ a couple of hundred thousand people. RNZ's doubled its number, almost 500,000 more people going to your website to find out what's going on. And Stuff's the one that's dropped back by 100K. But there's two elements in there that are really important. Number one, in July, Stuff announced that they were no longer going to be posting on Facebook. So they weren't going to use Facebook as a way of marketing their news and therefore getting people to come back to their website. They knew that would have an impact. Doesn't look like it's a massive impact at the moment. So I suspect, given their concerns around Facebook and some of the material posted, they won't be too concerned about that. And the other thing, just quickly, is Stuff really won't care very much because they cancelled their contract with Nielsen in May and they're instead going with the Audit Bureau of Circulation's Roy Morgan and Adobe Analytics. So that's part of the problem, right? How do you compare apples with oranges?
What is this measuring? Is this measuring unique users, means different devices, doesn't it?
Correct. So this is people. This is humans going to your website.
But they can be using multiple devices.
Well, they can, but the trick in the methodology is the ability to cancel that out that they arguably need the ability to know that I've gone on my laptop at work, but I've also used my phone when I'm sitting on the bus. And so somehow in that murky data in the background, they've got to pull me out and only count me as one. But, you know, it's an interesting snapshot. What it does show, of course, as you would hope, is massive increase from the community across this year to understand what's going on.
There's absolutely no doubt that over COVID things just go, you know, events like that, people just absolutely hone back to their whatever their trusted sources or opposed to their this social media looks.
And let's face it, that's really important, isn't it? Because we can see some of the conspiracy nonsense going on across social media.
You do that when there is an immediate crisis like an earthquake or COVID, and you want to know exactly what is happening right now that is verified and confirmed and quite likely coming from official sources. And yet the rest of the time it's like, to hell with us.
Yeah, that's right. I'll go with whatever anybody tells me and that'll be okay. So the more crises, the better, I suppose, for reputable media.
Now, the interesting thing about Stuff pulling out of Facebook, you think if people already have a habit of going to your site, you're probably okay. It's probably over time when you're trying to attract new readership, you'd be a bit nervous about the impact of that.
You could be. That's right, in terms of how you capture it. I mean, what they certainly said at the time is that they're interested in trust and loyalty. Yeah. And that really is, you know, for any media organisation, is it's great to get your spike. Same challenge for RNZ. You've got up to 900,000. How many of them can you keep? That's going to be the critical element.
Mm. All right. And also today,
So the other one I wanted to touch on is, again, Radio New Zealand, your sports journalist, Joe Porter. I was really interested last week. He did the story that triggered a lot of debate around Richie Maunga and whether, in fact, he was going to pull out of the rugby championship. That's the one in Australia, because it meant potentially that they wouldn't be back in time for Christmas and because of family reasons. As we know, Maunga came out the next day with the media and said, I don't know what they're talking about. Nobody came to me. This is complete nonsense. You may have a view on whether that's fair or not. What I really liked with what Porter did, though, is he issued an apology, and he basically said, Richie's made the point that sports people are accountable for what they do on the field, and he'd like to see some accountability. So Joe put his hand up and said, that's fair enough, I'll cop that. He got the information from a trusted source, and what he said in his apology is, I clearly could have and should have done more to verify the veracity of that information. Yeah. That's pretty courageous. I think you should admire any journalist who's prepared to put their hand up publicly and say,
You should sort of expect it, actually. You don't see it often enough. People just gloss over these kinds of things. The interesting thing about that was we had Ian Foster, the All Blacks coach, on the next day to talk about the Bledisloe Cup deal, and the government had belatedly suddenly moved and said, right, we're going to finesse quarantine arrangements, because I think they're worried about losing, clearly they're worried about losing at least one of the Bledisloe matches. But the funny thing was, when Ian Foster came on and he had a go over this, he then also conceded that, yes, they are asking questions. There are several All Blacks at the moment who are either new dads or about to become dads, about three or four, I think.
Yeah.
And he said, yes, they were asking questions, and it got as far as they were talking to Australia about whether they might be able to manage quarantine so you could possibly have, someone come in and then go back, possibly a couple of groups come in and go back over that time. It wasn't looking like that was going to be possible. But, you know, it's a big deal to have gone even that far. And this is always the thing as a journalist, you can be half right, a quarter right, or onto something, but if you don't pin it right down, you're going to take the slap,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
and Joe, who is an excellent reporter and a person of great integrity, I'm not surprised to come out and apologise, but for me, I just saw written all over that classic, you were onto something.
but you needed two or three sources.
And that's not easy. It happens in politics as well.
Difficult.
People always turn around and say, I don't know where that story came from, they were lying, and they're the damn source for your story.
Exactly.
It's one of the tricky things in those areas of journalism where you are dealing with sourced off-record information for things that people won't say on record.
Yeah, and as Joe would well know, and being experienced as he is, rugby and being a sports reporter is one of the toughest, because if they don't like what you write, they'll shut you down. They'll deny you access to the players that you need.
Yeah.
It's a very difficult world to succeed in.
I think everyone handled that situation with integrity, actually. And now we'll wait and see if there are any issues with some players.
That's right, exactly. Yeah.
Well, what do we make of the TV debates? You know, we've been talking about Facebook. You pointed out a week or two ago, or we discussed a week or two ago, that YouTube has overtaken TVNZ, I think, is now the single biggest source of where you get your news from, which just makes my eyes go around in opposite directions and rolling. But, you know, these big election debates still matter, the big TV debates still matter, and still for a particular cohort who are often the ones who vote.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's the opportunity, isn't it, to, over a period of time, to make some key points, but mostly to be seen. I don't know that there's a huge amount of information that people take from it, unless it's John Key saying, show me the money to poor Phil Goff, and putting a real problem in that campaign. And certainly for Judith Collins tonight, with the 3J, she's up there with John Campbell and Jacinda, of course. If she's going to complain about Ardern as Prime Minister having all these opportunities through the press conferences around COVID, well, this is a critical moment for her. You've got to feel a little bit sorry for her in that there's a little bit of a setup, because the next opinion poll comes out at 6 o'clock at the top of the news.
And
you would expect that the numbers won't necessarily be looking good for the Nationals. And then an hour later, you've got to walk out and try and defend that. Makes it pretty brutal.
I think that's called an angle. But they're important for the network. Too, we suspect they will still expect a bump.
Yeah, and you know, there are a whole lot of elements that we've talked about before. Is it confirmation bias for a lot of people that, yes, the person I'm going to vote for is correct? But then we know there can be those maverick elements to it. Peter Dunne, good Lord, the worm whisperer who ended up with a significantly increased vote because of his performance in one particular TV. But that was the worm.
That was controversial. That's when they introduced the worm for the first time. But as you say, sometimes just one key hit can carry a sort of an outsized ripple effect.
Yeah. Absolutely. My fervent hope
or
is
equally
that,
a mistake, or just something that falls like a that sort of just really misses the mood or shows a tin ear, that can turn people as well.
Yeah. The final key element is that the moderator, it's not about them. So I'll be watching to see how.